Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Ellie Gibson.
And it's me, Helen Thorne.
And who is our guest today, Helen Thorne?
It is the absolutely divine and musically gifted Kat Bateman. Hello, Kat.
Hello. Oh my god, I can't believe I'm here. I'm so excited.
Oh, and you're sort of like a superhero, aren't you, Kat? Because you've got an alter ego. What's your alter ego, Kat?
What's my alter ego?
It's who are you calling?
What's your name on the internet?
Oh, right. Oh my god. It's at Little Folks Sing.
Yes,
that's my
right.
Alter ego that she led me to carefully.
I'm so on it.
I'm so on it.
All right, Grandma.
I know you do listen to the podcast, so as you know, it's incredibly professional.
Yeah, incredibly professional. So I thought I'd bring my A game.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So welcome to the podcast, Kat. Now, Kat, you and I met because I feel like I now have to remind you of who you are, since you don't even know your own fucking
name.
Who
am I? What do I do?
You're a nursery rhyme singer.
Oh, yes. You see, I'm menopausal, so you don't really remember a lot of things.
Right.
So thank you very much. I wondered why I was here in this dingly dell.
Incy wince, spider, climbed up that. Oh, what was it? Oh, I can't remember.
Some spout.
Yeah, but I'm going to say this, listener, because a lot of people listening, look, let's be honest, Kat, you don't have to agree with me, but a lot of people listening to this will be like, oh my God, oh, nursery rhyme singers, oh! And they'll be having like PTSD flashbacks, like sitting in really unpleasantly smelling church halls, listening to some bint bang on about the Miss Muffets and the spiders and the sunshine and
you've
all
got
of
it.
That. Ah, oh, but your classes.
My classes are exactly
bearable.
Like that.
They're smelly.
Yes.
No, I have to say, I did all that stuff when mine were little, and I'd go to some of these classes and I'd be like, you can put some more bloody welly in than that.
Mm.
And actually, you've got all the mums there and their people, they're allowed to have some fun too. So I do skirt a line, I think, between really entertaining the little ones, but having some snide little fun with the mums and being a bit naughty, because otherwise, you know, they were long days to fill.
Oh, mate, they really are. They really are. And I loved going to your class with my little Joe, and I like the one because
he's so gorgeous.
You do Crystal Palace, don't you, in Sydenham?
Yeah, I do Crystal Palace, Sydenham, and then I've also got in the old pandemic, I went and did that pivot thing. I hate that word, but I pivoted online with the incredible Happerty. They are completely amazing. And I now can say that I sing across the world.
What? She's international.
Get me.
She's international.
International.
Like Beyonce. International. She's gone global.
Yeah. I have gone global. Not to many families globally, but I can say it.
Yeah.
You know? So I've even been to Zimbabwe, which is my favourite one yet.
Oh.
Can you imagine? Nursery rhymes in Zimbabwe. So yeah, that's what I do. And as a little caveat,
I like to think one day you might be like, you know, ABBA's doing this concert with holograms in London. Perhaps you could just do that in Mayo Park Cafe.
I really
an hologram of yourself. Brilliant.
Well, this is the thing, how do you scale up when it's just you? It's very tricky, so holograms are the way.
Absolutely. Oh, but the classes are great because you have a proper guitar, you can actually sing, which is Helen and I's dream. And there's puppets and there's also, but let's be honest, the best thing for me about the Sydenham, is it Thursday mornings?
Do you know, they're all over the place. We can look up on Happerty where they are, the current ones, because they change all the time.
Yeah.
But yes, there's the one I've just come from actually is Crystal Palace, Brown and Green Life in Crystal Palace. And you know, some people turned up. Life is hard as a small business at the moment. It's absolutely ridiculous, but I'm keeping going and
you're
just, you know.
Going. Yeah. And as I say, the best thing for me about the cinema was, you know, well, of course you, apart from you, obviously, was that it's above the cafe. So you can go and get an enormous latte.
Exactly.
Basically, you sit in the room and I would just sort of put my child on the floor and you would get out all these musical instruments and, you know, pre-licked maracas and glove puppets and I could just sit there and drink my coffee and you did all the work. And
that's,
honestly,
that's the point.
It was some of the happiest hours of my life with a toddler. So thank you.
You are so beautiful. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all mums and we're all winging it and we're all trying to do the best. And if you come to one of my classes, then you can tick one of those things going, I've been a good mum this morning. I've given my kids some music. And then you can go home and chill out and make
some
friends.
Yeah, then you go home
and
they watch Peppa Pig for 7 hours. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's happy. Everyone's fine.
Absolutely.
Now, you are a mum yourself as well. Tell us about your family.
Okay, so my family, I'm actually a bit older than you lovely ladies here.
No, I won't hear of this. No.
Can you believe? And basically, I have what's called teenagers.
Oh.
So I have got a 15-year-old. And I've got a nearly 13-year-old, and they are both boys. I was blessed with two boys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Teenagers are just bonkers. And it's a whole new ball game, but they're still underneath all that stuff that they give you. You look at them, and I try so hard not to laugh when they're giving me the V sign and stuff like that, because underneath, they're still my little baby.
And
they
do
totally
you still
are.
See that? Because mine are 10
totally
and 7,
are.
Right? So yeah, I'm not there.
Yeah.
Do you still see that underneath?
I really do. It Aww. Just never goes. And that's a really beautiful thing, because I didn't think that would be like that. I just thought you'd have to like learn them as a different person, but it's not. It's just them growing into something else, which, I mean, it's bloody obvious, isn't it? But basically, one thing I find myself saying all the time now, which my mum used to say to me, and I'd be like, fuck off, mum. I quite often say, look, I love you very, very much, but at the moment, I really don't like you. And that goes down quite well. Because they can be little shits. But you know, I absolutely adore them, and they're not too bad.
Yeah, my mum said a similar thing. She said, "I love you, but I don't like the things that you do."
Oh, that's good.
And
that's clever.
So she loves the person, but like the actions. And
see,
I was like,
when you read all the books, that's exactly what you're. I'm not doing it quite as well as your mum. Because you're actually supposed to remove it from the person.
That's great. I think we should expand that to wider society. Judges should say that when giving out sentences, like to burglars and murderers.
Yeah.
I love you, but you should not have stolen that 46-inch flat screen. 6 months. I think that would just
love you. Bye. Kiss, like a little shit sandwich. Exactly right.
So, it's a whole different ball game having teenagers.
I've sort of adopted this thing that I heard somewhere else. It might have been on Cat and Nat, who are our Canadian counterparts, who are amazing. Go and look them up. But this thing about what to say when your children ask you which one of them is your favourite.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're supposed to go, oh, I love you. And I heard this brilliant thing, which is you say, well, it varies from day to day. Depending on your behaviour.
Yeah.
So today, your brother's been really, really annoying, so you're my favourite. But tomorrow, everything could change.
Oh my God, I love that. I love it.
I have used that. To
I
be
might
honest.
Use that.
I haven't been specific about which one is my favourite in the moment, but I have actually.
But which
used
one
it.
Is?
Well, today, let me think. Oh, they were quite good. No, today my husband is the least favourite because we had a row about pickups and drop-offs. So that's they're both off the hook today.
Yeah. Partners quite often step in to be the one.
Yeah, yeah,
that you
exactly.
Hate.
They're a good buffer.
Oh, a good scapegoat. You can bond with your children over how crap they are. And are you still with your baby daddy? Are you still?
Unbelievably, yes.
Oh, how long's that been?
Shall I tell you girls? You're going to be shocked. So I met my Dave when I was 22 at university, but it wasn't one of those like, I went to university and got a boyfriend and all that. It was basically, he was delivering futons and my friend really fancied him. They went out, didn't quite work. And then we
sloppy seconds.
Sloppy
seconds of a futon.
So we've been together for 30 years.
30
Can you
years.
Imagine?
Amazing.
So we are hanging on.
That futon has taken some pounding in 30 years, let me tell you.
I used to
got rid of the futon.
I liked banging on a futon. It's very good kind of,
But quite hard.
Yeah.
And I am old now, so
it's a long way to get down and up again.
I did have a futon at university, and actually there was this delivery anyway.
Oh, you got a bell. 30 years.
Yeah, yes. So 30 years. And, you know, it's so weird because, like, you just go through those days where you're like, I can't even look at him. He knows all this. He knows all this. Yeah. And then other days you're like, oh, my God, underneath it all, we have so got each other's back. Mm. So I do feel
really
lucky.
And those backs are lying on the futon. That's right. They're both lying down on a very relatively
hard
surface.
No, those days are gone.
Does he, what does he do now?
So he is a complete, he will hate this. He's a completely amazing musician. He's in a band called Graham and they are so fantastic. But he's also a landscape gardener because you know what it's like making money out of music. It's a bit tricky. But yeah, he's a completely amazing musician. He's absolutely brilliant. And that's really what he should be doing. And we're holding on to the dream to keep going.
Two musicians. Oh, you like the Eurythmics. Except they got divorced. But apart from that, it's the same.
It's exactly the same. I'm going to cut my hair and go Scottish.
Yeah. Awesome.
Just going back to your kids, can we talk about the time when, because you've been a very good friend and good supporter of ours and you've come to a lot of our shows.
I have. I love you dearly. I'm licking your faces all the time.
Thank you. And can we talk about the time once you came to our show, Kat, and your phone went off, not once, but I think
it's about three times.
And we gave you the dirty looks, didn't we? Like, you're our friend. Why are you fucking this up? Jesus.
Yes, and shall I elaborate on that story?
Yeah, I'd like you to explain yourself.
So, I mean, obviously, completely rude it happened, but I was still in that mode where we've got our eldest boy has got type 1 diabetes. And so I was still in that sort of moment where it was like, you know, just check him, check he's got all the things he needs before bed, all that sort of stuff. And so I set the alarms off on my phone to remind myself to check the stock of like all his, what's it called, prescription stuff. Right. There's like three fucking pages of it, you know. So just trying to be on it. And then when Ellie came off the stage going, Kat, your phone's going in the middle of our show. And I was like, oh my God. And I knew she was just about to make a joke about it. And then I thought, but that actually might make Ellie feel bad because Ellie is actually a very beautiful person and I didn't want
sometimes
to make her feel bad.
Internally only.
Yes, I didn't want to make her feel bad and I was going, trying to whisper in her ear as she's mid-show, Ellie, it's about like drugs and type 1, so you don't want to
go funny. It's actually a serious life-threatening medical condition, you stupid bitch. And we're like, we don't care, you're ruining our show.
So yes, I
this
do.
This is about
I,
me.
I still apologise about that.
No, it's fine. But our kids don't have diabetes. We've not had anyone on the podcast, I don't think. So tell us what's that like. How did it first sort of come to light to diagnose it? I don't know anything about it, to be honest.
Neither did I before all of this happened. And it's one of those things where, as a mum, you're like thrust into this world and you have to cope. You've got to, you know, there's no, you can't like dick off and just go, oh no, I can't deal with this. You've got to be there, front and centre, deal with it all. And dad as well. And so basically what happened was,
you've got to deal with him because he's a fucking nut.
He was amazing. So basically, and mums always ask me this, like, oh, how did you know that something was wrong with him? So basically, he was 5 years old, and he started drinking loads of water, and I was like, yes, get in. My son is hydrated because you can never get water in kids; they don't want it. And so I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. He's really thirsty. But consequently, then he started, and he'd been really dry. Do you still say that now?
Dry at night.
Yeah. And so he'd been dry, like, quite young and was fine, and then all of a sudden, like three nights in a row, he just pissed the bed, like totally. And I know he doesn't mind me telling that story. And we were like, and Dave actually was way more on it than me because I was going, oh, you know, he's drinking loads of water, doesn't it? And he went, I think he smells a bit different. And he said he smelt like pear drops, is what he said.
Right, yeah.
So these things were adding up, and that was not normal for our boy. So that's the thing, mums, isn't it? If ever there's something that's not quite the same as you're used to them being, that's when you go and check it out.
Yeah. If they start emptying the bins without being asked or tidying
you know rooms, they're having some sort of fit.
4999.
Emergency.
Yeah. And so basically, we took him to the doctors. My other son was about coming up for 18 months or something.
Oh, super
I was absolutely knackered.
Yeah.
The only appointment I could get was at 6 o'clock on a Monday night, right? And I was like, fuck me, this is just like, what? And like, to be honest, I was a bit grumpy about it because I was like, there's nothing wrong. He's just like weeing. So took him to the doctor and I phoned up my husband. I said, look, can you meet me? Because I think the little one was screaming and all that. I was like, can we go in together? And he said, yeah, I might be able to get them in time. So anyway, get into the appointment. tell them what we said. It's a new doctor, and did a urine sample, and then she came into the room, and I swear she like flew in the room, and I was like, and then she sat at her computer. She said, look, I'm just going to go next door. I just want to check something with the existing doctor, because I'm a new doctor, newly trained. And so we were like, yeah. And I thought, I still didn't think anything was wrong. And then she came back. She said, right, I haven't even got time to type this. You need to go straight to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
We think your boy's got type 1 diabetes. And I looked at Dave and went, what the fuck is type 1 diabetes? Like, I'd heard of diabetes. Can I just say as a caveat here, I am a nursery rhymes woman. I do never swear in the groups, but I swear like a trooper outside of the groups.
That's how we
just
love you.
I just want to put that in.
Confirm both of those things.
And then it's emphasis. I love swearing for emphasis. And anyway, so then we were in this position where we had like 18 month old. He was screaming his head off. So Dave took our eldest to the hospital and I stayed at home. And it was like the worst time of my life, because I was just like, what's wrong with my boy? What's wrong with my boy? I don't even know what it is. And then we got, you know, Dave phoned me up and said, it is. He's got it. He's got it. I can bring him home tonight, and then tomorrow we've got to learn all about this.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, what the fuck is this?
The whole world upside down.
Upside down.
Immediately.
It was so, like, even now it gives me goosebumps, because it was so horrible. And really, yeah, I mean, it just ripped the soul out of us. Mm-hmm. And then we had this beautiful little boy. He'd always been, like, really fun, stuff like that. And we're having to chase him with needles. Like, so basically, in that first bit, you're told what it is. And the doctors are really amazing. They don't give you too much information at first, because you literally can't take it on board. They teach you how to keep him safe. And then, so you learn your baseline, which is basically, at the time, he was on injections. So he had to have 5 injections a day. Shit. And then he would have extra, which we had to give, because he was 5. And then we'd gone from having this, like, seemingly, you know, lovely little family. And then we had our boy saying to us, I hate you, why are you doing this? And that was so awful, because you're just like, I know, it just seems brutal, darling, but this is saving you. Yeah, it was really awful. And then, you know, like, all these things, you start, and I hate this phrase, at the time I wanted to tell people to fuck off when they said it, they'd be like, it will become your new normal. And it does, you know, it does, like anything we all go through. You do start learning it, and you do start understanding it, and information is power and all that sort of stuff. And then as each day goes by, you learn a bit more. But that first year was so dark and so hard. And unless you've been through it, you don't really understand it. And it's like all things in life, isn't it? We all can sort of empathise with people, but unless you've actually been through it, you don't. You just have knowing looks to people that have been through it, don't you? You get it in a look. And so move on to, like, now he's 15. So basically, I want to give people hope about this, because yes, it's dark and horrible at the beginning, but then it's you learn it and you maneuver around everything. You fight for everything at school because they don't really get it, and you've got to have your boy understood. It's basically like an unseen disability. So he'll be doing tests and things like that, but if he's having a hypo, which is when your blood sugar drops really, really low, he can't do an exam, you know. And so my fight as his mum has always been like, you treat my boy, you make sure that he's got so much against him before he even steps out of the door in the morning. So I have to fight for him to get, like, all the help he needs at school. But, you know, I can fight.
Good girl.
I can fight. Yeah. But so the other thing is, I did ask him, I'm just going to, like,
oh, she's moving. Really, she's
turned away
from
the mic. Sorry. But I asked him, because I wanted to give people hope that if they're listening and it's just coming to their family or something like that. And I asked my boy last night, I said, look, I'm going to go and talk to these really amazing women. And I just
then
want
see the scummy mummies.
And then see the scummy mummies. Yeah. So I said, you're 15 now. What do you think of type 1 diabetes? Because he's had it for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And he said, it's a bit shit. When a hypo happens, you feel horrendous and you can't get enough food in, and it's just horrible. But it does come with a few perks, like eating sweets and leaving class whenever I want to sort myself out. And then I said to him, what would you say to newly diagnosed kids, and particularly to their families? And he said, once you understand it, it's pretty easy to deal with.
Oh, bless his heart.
He's really amazing.
God,
he's really amazing.
Cat, like,
That is amazing. Thank you so much to him for sharing that and for bothering to ask. That's amazing.
Yeah, because the thing is, I'm really passionate, and I know you've seen it on my Instagram at Little Folk Sing. The things I do on there are basically talk about my business, talk about being a woman, and then spread as much awareness as I can about type 1 diabetes because people don't know enough about it, and it is a chronic lifelong condition, and it's really bloody hard. But like he says, you do get to grips with it. Yeah. And there's a couple of accounts that I was going to mention. Is it father of daughters? He won't mind me saying, I'm sure that his daughter was diagnosed with type 1 and he's got some amazing insights to it too. So if you follow him, and also there's Nora's Brownies. She's got type 1 and she's extraordinary.
And she's got a pump, hasn't she?
She's got a pump. And then I'm not sure if she's got Dexcom on her arm or the other one is Libra. But yeah, she's absolutely amazing. And she runs this incredible business, has got a mum, has got type 1, and she's just unbelievable.
Yeah, so Nora's great.
It's really important to reach out to other people that have got type 1 in their family or got it themselves, because then it's like anything, you don't feel so alone with it. And it's really important to sort of, you know, you get a bit of help and a bit of support and a bit of understanding, because no one gets it unless they're in it.
But you know like
my boy says, you do start getting used to it, but I can't switch off at night because I'll check him in the middle of the night still.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a pump, so every night I'm up at like 3 a.m. because it's because I haven't gone to bed. I'm really bad at going to bed. And so I just like to check what his level is so that I know he's safe for the rest of the night. And it just makes me feel good. I don't, you know, maybe the pumps, you can really, really trust them, but sometimes they go wrong. And so I like to just know. And so, yeah, that makes me feel good doing that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something that you learn and you get on with and you deal with. But I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I wish I had it and he didn't. But I think because he had it pre sort of 5, sadly, I don't think he remembers a time without it. So I think that in some ways makes my brain a bit calmer about it. But yeah, I would wipe it away in an instant. Yeah. But I don't think he would, interestingly.
Really?
Yeah, like we had this one thing where we were sat at the table and both boys were there. And at the time, I think he might have been about, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something. And there was a radio show on and it was just talking, the news came on and it was like, oh, it might be a cure for diabetes. That's another issue I'll tell you in a minute. And they both went, yeah, like that. And it was so sweet. And then they both went, what's a cure? And I sort of explained what it was. And then Jack went, oh, but can I keep my diabetes?
Really?
Which flipped my brain. So that made me feel a bit, although it's kind
what
of sad.
What was his reasoning? Why does he want to hang on to it?
I don't know. I think it's part of who he is.
Wow.
I don't know. I didn't actually ask him that more recently. I don't know if he would still say that, but at the time, and it just made me feel like a little glow in my heart. I was like, oh my God. So he doesn't distinguish between it and him. It's just what he deals with.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of amazing.
To have a child that's so at peace with that, because that, you know, that could be such a point of friction, and like, because you can't, it has to be part of him. I think that reflects quite good parents, I would say, that you've made him feel.
Don't make me cry.
That is a credit to you.
Well, do you know what? The one thing I would say is it's really hard on parents when they've got a kid who's got something. I mean, we all know what it's like. You fight all the time over parenting, I think. I mean, we do in our house.
Oh, yeah.
And when there's something that's actually really serious and really wrong and you've got different views on it,
oh, God.
It's an absolute nightmare. And what I didn't realise was we would go to some of these support groups and sometimes, you know, I'd go, no, I think he needs to do this. And he would be like, oh, he needs to do this. And someone said, oh, no, you know, lots of us are divorced because we just couldn't handle the pressure. So then I sort of gave us a little pat on the back. I was like, oh, OK, so it is really, really hard. And we're sort of getting through it.
Yeah.
But what we did is I think we passed the ball of pain between us when it was all going on. But we tried so hard to just be really matter of fact about it with our boy. And just be like, oh, come on, let's just do this injection. And we
had to play your song on my guitar.
Had to be actors and try really, really hard not to pass all that stress on and shit on, because we knew it was really important. And we did that all without even talking about it. We just, that was just our little way we dealt with it. Mm. So yeah, maybe that had something to do with it. But to be honest, he's just bloody amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
And so is my little one as well, because he's had to live with a brother who's got a condition.
Yeah,
and so
he's been,
it is a pressure. And you have to be so careful. Someone took me aside once who'd had issues in her growing up. And basically, she said, just make sure that he doesn't feel left out. Because although it's not wanted attention for the kid who's got the condition, the other one will just see they're getting attention.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've always tried to include our little one and go, oh, you know, this is what Jack Thing says. What do you think? And, you know, so we've tried as best we can.
And then he was poorly at Christmas.
Are you right to talk about that? Yeah, no, I am okay to talk about. And another reason why I will talk about it is because I'm really passionate about sharing information, because our government, what the fuck about the COVID stuff?
I think they're doing their very best. I'm joking, listener. Of course I'm joking.
He deserved a party every Friday night, Ellie.
Yeah. He bloody did.
He was under a lot of pressure.
He's got a very big job.
I mean, a very big job. I mean, he fell in love.
Oh,
who could blame him?
He fell in love in his fucking office.
He fell in love into someone's mouth.
Yes, yes. We've all done it. We haven't.
So, no, basically, the reason I want to talk about this, and I won't go into too much, but basically, I say basically a lot, don't I? Sorry about that. Cut those out.
No, that'll take me all day. I'm enjoying it.
So, we all know about the COVID.
Mm.
We all know about the vaccine. And so, the story went, my youngest, who is nearly 13, just before sort of November last year, he got COVID when my husband got it. And we've been really paranoid about it because obviously with type 1 in our family, I don't think, our boy's really strong, so I don't think it would make him particularly ill, but I think it would mess around with his blood sugars, which are stressful enough.
Mm.
So we've been really extra, extra cautious about the whole thing. And then just from the side, you know, our little one gets COVID and we did all the, you know, they went up in the rooms and I was delivering food. You know, that was fun, wasn't it? 10 days of just doing fucking everything. But we did it really, really strictly, covered our hands, everything all the time, left plates at the door and stuff like that, because we were so paranoid about our eldest one getting it. So he wasn't that poorly with it. And then a few weeks go by and then it's Christmas Eve and he just started being not very well. He just didn't feel very well. He was a bit flushed and his temperature was quite high. And so we were just like, oh, that's a bit weird. It just came from nowhere. And couldn't get his temperature down. And then on Christmas morning, you know, we were cooking the bird and all that stuff. And actually quite pleased that it was COVID because we didn't have to fucking go anywhere or do anything. We could just sit in our house. And looked at each other and we're like, he's not right, is he? And we're going to have to phone 111. And then as a parent, you look at each other and you know if you phone 111, they're going to tell you to go to hospital.
Yeah, you open the door.
And we're like, it's Christmas Day. What? This is really weird. So we phone 111 and they said, sure enough, go to hospital. Long story short, there was a few ins and outs and double checks and they didn't quite get it in time. But 2 days later, we were in hospital again because his temperatures were really bad and he started getting rashes. So we were like, fuck this, go back to hospital. And then they confirmed that he had post-COVID inflammatory syndrome. And it was so scary. It was basically your body starts kind of eating itself.
Oh,
Jesus. It's basically his immune system. I think what they think, they still don't really know why it's happening. It's only like been around for like 15, 16 months. But amazingly, the Evelina Hospital in Westminster was one of the hospitals that diagnosed it. So they were dealing with King's as well. So we had like the experts on it. But it's, they don't really, you know, they think that there's maybe some bits and trails of the COVID left in the deep sites in the blood cells or something, but they don't even think there's anything really in there. But for some reason, our little one's immune system, whether it's because it was really strong, it started fighting. It's like, oh, there's something in here to fight. But because there was nothing in it to fight, it starts inflaming around all your body, all your main organs. And we were just like, and it was just really
horrific.
Horrific. And I've never been so scared. And it took me back to when my other one was diagnosed with type 1. I was like, this is so awful and so out of our hands. And we've just got to trust everyone around us. But do they know what they're doing? And just seeing that the doctors seemed quite nervous and quite scared about stuff, it was really heavy shit. And it was awful. And we dug in and we got on. And thank God there was like a protocol that they'd worked out, that they kept throwing drugs, and then like, God, he's so strong, we can't, what they had to do was switch off the immune system and then he'd be okay, but they couldn't switch it off. So then they were going down each path, and then they came out with an Uber drug, whatever this one was, which I didn't even want to know what these side effects could be, because I knew it was the only thing that they were able to throw at him. So we just had to trust. And anyway, thank God he came out the other end, and he's still, like, he's almost, now we're sort of, whatever time we are, is it May? He's almost there physically, and he's just sort of getting over it, because it was very frightening. So it's very frightening. So basically, I'm just telling everyone, if your kid has COVID, just keep like a little vague eye a few weeks after, because if you start getting the symptoms of being, you know, the temperature and rashes, just go and get him checked out, you know. And I think the government have kept it quiet, because obviously if you say temperature and rashes, everyone's going to be rushing to hospital with temperatures. But I understand why they haven't, but it's really important to at least know about it.
Because it is rare, right?
It's really rare.
I don't want to, I'm just conscious of not scaring people.
No, exactly, exactly.
But like you say, I think it's
just be aware of it. It's good information. Like we all knew what the symptoms were for COVID. Can we just know the symptoms just in case your kids gets this? It's called PIMS-TS is what they call it for short. But so yeah, it is really rare, but it happens occasionally, and they're working, you know, they know what to do with it. But yeah, it was really horrible. But there we go. We're
so
here to tell the tale.
Absolutely. Survived another day.
Yeah. I wonder you have the energy to pick up a glove puppet at all. What she's been through. Serious. Oh, honestly, I think you're amazing.
Don't.
As bloody jolly as you are, frankly. I'd still be moaning about it.
No, but the thing is, you know what it's like. It's like someone sent me a message and it made me laugh, because it said, oh, for such a nice lady, you're really unlucky. And I was like,
how is that helpful? I don't know how that works.
And I'm sure it was from a good place and that sort of stuff.
Speak for yourself. But that's because you're a nice lady. I don't think that's from a very...
But I thought, do you know what? That is not my narrative. We are all so lucky with what we've got, and we just... You have to focus on... I'm not saying I don't have days when I'm like, FML. You have to just keep going. What's the choice?
Yeah.
And there are some people fighting so many awful things. So, yeah, things have been hard. Things have been annoying and stressful. But every day is full of everything, isn't it? That's the thing. It's like, when everyone goes, how are you? Like, shit, brilliant, crap, amazing. Yeah. All in one day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, it is, you just all have to just crack on, don't we?
Yeah.
And you speak so beautifully about the support that you get from friends. Obviously, not that friend. She's fucked.
She's not blocked.
Delete and block. But I think the older we get, we have a greater perspective of who is important to us.
Yeah.
And I think that is the gift of old age. Not the saggy bits. Not the skin tag and the piles.
Or the aprons.
Can we talk about the aprons?
Oh, my God. Yes.
You mentioned this when you came in, and I've not heard of this, but explain what the apron is.
Okay, ladies.
So let's sort of go into sort of body confidence, because you have to have a bit of confidence in what you do. You sit in front of like tired mums and irritable toddlers every day. You have to go, right, I'm going to do a really great thing for them. So where does this confidence come from?
Do you know, I literally don't know. I've just always had to sing. It's the weirdest thing. Like, my dad used to say, he was like, stop that mumbling. You're always mumbling. He's Scottish.
And thank you for clarifying the accent. Accents get very confused on this podcast.
Speak for yourself.
I literally was.
And so I just have this passion for music that is so unsquashable, and it is still there as strong as it ever was. And I feel so lucky that I've got it, because I think that gets me through everything. I really do. I feel like I've got like this little special thing in me that just keeps me going. Whatever happens, I just love music and singing so, so much that it's just the most amazing thing. I just love it. But
I feel that way about Pringles. Really,
get me wrong, a twirl, I'll do anything for a twirl. Kat Bateman, anything for a twirl.
Yeah, time the podcast done.
So the whole body confidence thing is just like, I can't even say it, it's so weird. It's really weird, isn't it? Because we put ourselves out there. And like when I was younger, I was a skinny little thing, and I always felt like pretty good. I'd wear like cat suits and shit like that in the 80s. I loved it. And then you have babies and then your body just goes completely weird. And we all know it.
and we all kind of do the best with what we've got. Mm. And I'm like, I think one of my kids even said, with your clothes on, you look all right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, good. And I was like, oh, that's good.
But so I totally get that. And I have all those conversations with friends, and like some friends of ours was telling me, and I'd never heard of it because I'm 52. I know you're shocked. I was 52. Yeah, I know. Sure thought it was 55. I'm 52. And so I've done the menopause stuff. And good on Davina for doing all that stuff and bringing it to all. And the amazing Karen Arthur.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're praise just complete,
be.
Yeah, praise be. They're amazing. And so your body goes a bit weird. And I never used to put weight on. I could eat what I wanted and it would just, like, disappear. Not so much now. Mm. And so there was this thing my friend said. She goes, have you got an apron? And I was like, why do you need an apron? She went, no, you twat. Have you got one of those belly aprons? I've started getting this thing where my belly, like, dribbles over my pants at the top.
Oh, so not like a muffin top.
No, it's further. Proud, no, it's like, it because you're over. So old, it's got, like, gravity takes it somewhere else.
So it's more like a flap.
It's like a flap. Yeah, it's like a lovely little flap. It's like my funny flap.
But is it like a discreet, like, pubes coverage? Like,
no, mine's not quite that bad, ladies and gentlemen. Mine's getting there, but it's not quite
mine,
there.
Like a gunt. Like, just like a gunt.
What did you say? Did you call me a see you next Tuesday?
Yeah, no. A gunt. It's a half gut, half cunt. It's just like, have you not heard that? Gunt, gunt.
I prefer that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe an apron is a gunt. Maybe an apron's a more ladylike way of saying it.
Oh, yes, I think it's a polite gunt. Yeah.
So basically, aprons are coming to us all, but I am fighting every day to try and reverse it.
Yes.
Because you want to feel good, don't you?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I'm not too bad, but things like that, just like, that never used to be there. I'd quite like to get rid of that. Mm. And I tell you one thing I haven't told you. So with all the stress of the Christmas stuff, I knew I needed something to get me through it because it was so frightening.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I can't afford counselling. I know, I'm going to try cold water swimming. Oh. I have become a cold water boy. No. I can tell you.
I'm already asleep. I've stopped listening.
Are you going to Beckenham Place Park?
Beckenham Place Park. I have been, Ellie, are you ready?
No.
I've been 15 weeks running every Friday.
And so how long do you have to be in? Because this is, some people say, just go in for 6 minutes, it'll change your life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, so this is the thing. I'm not like all the ones that have been doing it for years and years who go in with literally practically nothing on. I was suited and booted, the hands, gloves, wetsuit and everything.
Special wetsuit for your apron.
Oh, no, that kind of floated on the side. Yeah. It's fine. I didn't need a toe
like
float.
A flotilla,
Exactly that. Yeah. I love it. A guntilla.
Amazing.
And basically, I've said it again. Sorry, girls. I read this thing where it said, if you go in a minute per degree of the water, that's quite a safe thing. But obviously, caveat to everything, you always have to go in with people around and that you're safe and you know, you've talked about it.
Basically, it's a heart attack, isn't it?
You could be putting yourself through that.
She doesn't like being cold, listen.
No,
don't like having heart attacks,
you do.
To be honest. That's the main thing.
At Beckenham Place Park, the lakes, PTP coaching, they do an amazing cold water induction. So you feel like you're given all the information.
They just drop you in?
Yeah. No.
Is it like a baptism?
What they do is they throw handfuls of ice cubes at you.
Stick it in your pants.
Get like a water pistol.
So I decided that I would go with that. So when the water was like 4 degrees, which is absolutely ice horrible.
No.
I would go in for no longer than 4 minutes.
Why?
When you come out, let me tell you, ladies, you feel absolutely amazing.
Because you're not cold anymore.
Yeah.
No,
you can stab yourself in the eye. And when it stopped hurting, you'd feel amazing.
But it just makes you feel like you can take shit on.
Yeah.
It makes you go, I am woman.
Yeah.
And I can deal with this
and
shit
I am cold.
That's my way.
Yeah.
I am cold and I have a cup of tea and a cake and maybe even some pizza. Like, I don't do it the way they all do it, really healthily.
Yeah.
You know, I do my thing and then I get loads of treats afterwards for being so good.
Yeah.
But it makes me, I would sell it to anyone. I really love it so much. Why did we say that anyway?
No, because this is about confidence and bodies and making. But there's lots of science behind it. Annoyingly, you were actually backed up by science.
Annoyingly, I'm right.
Yes. And I'm being.
She's being extra facetious.
I'm being extra facetious because I used to feel that way about running. Do you know what I mean? And then I started, and I was like, oh no, I get it now. So I'm just being a wanker cat. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
But also,
I know that anyway.
I think you're a wanker for going cold swimming.
It's the new yoga. I mean, it's a new spin.
That's why I didn't want to do it at first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
it feels a bit
my husband will tell you, I go the entirely opposite way to every trend that's going on. Yeah. I cannot bear being told what to do or what's right or what's the latest thing. Mm. I am a real, I've always been like that. I just feel really embarrassed. Like, someone's told me to do something and I just do it. Mm. I just can't bear that. Mm. So I don't do that.
Let you do it now on our podcast.
Exactly.
Let me tell you.
But so I think that's why I didn't do it for so long, because I've always wanted to do it.
Mm.
But I just kept thinking, it's one of those cupboard, things.
There's a packet of unopened booties and gloves. I know, because friends have been saying, go to Brockwell Lido. So I will do that eventually.
But come to it,
a box of unopened.
Ellie's asleep now.
It's a box of unopened kettlebells.
Classic Thorn.
Yeah.
Buy all the equipment.
Yeah, but just never do it.
All the gear. No idea.
Spiralizers, kettlebells, irons. It'll never happen.
Never say never. All right, you can, if you drive me,
I'll drive you. Yes. You can come.
If you you've got a bicycle.
I know.
You've got a bicycle
in the ice water.
Yeah, I fucking love it.
Okay. You've got to get Ellie in. Oh my god, this is a whole new thing.
She won't.
I will just drive. I'll just drive round and round Beckenham Place Park in my convertible car. That's with the roof down.
Yeah,
that's cold enough for me. That's fine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Excellent.
Well, it is time now, team, for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hooray!
Oh, I know
you're familiar with the format, Kat.
Yes.
Do you want to go first or do you want us to go first? What would you prefer?
I can go first and get it out of the way.
Let's do it.
So, when your kids are at preschool and stuff like that and you see all the mums dropping off and, like, sometimes you see a mum that's so, like, beautiful and it's like she's got angels singing around her. She's so cool. And if she shines the light on you, you just feel a little bit special, don't you? Mm. And I feel so bad even admitting that. But you know, we've all been there.
We've all had the eyes for the hot mum.
Yeah,
you know,
we've all
like
been
cool
there.
Yeah, of course.
So I got invited to go round for, you know, play dates. So I was like, oh, I'm going in the inner sanctum. It's all very exciting. And she's like really amazing, fit as you like. And obviously the food was not the sort of food that I probably would have given. It was like pure massive salad with chickpeas all over it. Oh. Now, I know from experience that chickpeas don't quite agree with my stomach and they make me a bit shitty. And so I thought, well, you know, I've got to eat them. I'm sure it'll be all right. So I had this massive bowl and more chickpeas than I'd ever eaten in my entire fucking life.
Extraordinary.
And carried on chatting. And then I thought,
oh, no.
Oh, my God. You know the Sex and the City film when she's walking along and her stomach's all gurgling?
Yeah.
Basically, it was like that.
Oh, no.
But inaudible. Yeah. And so I thought, right, I'll just go to the loo. So I went to the loo and I literally shat everywhere.
Sprayed the bowl.
It was all in the toilet, but it just felt like it was everywhere and I was so embarrassed, but I didn't quite, like, I did have to take the old knickers off and shove them in my pocket because, you know, something a little bit went on there. Anyway... But I think I was in there for quite some time because it was a bit traumatic.
Yeah. You want to do the full job because it's worse coming back and going, hang on.
Is that a chickpea? So then I was a bit of a liar and I said, oh, sorry, I was a bit long. It came on, you know. And I just lied that it was a period. That was awful. So I felt like a really scummy mummy because I was in the most pristine, beautiful house and I was just shitting.
That's shitting chickpeas. Oh. That's what you should call your autobiography. slitting chickpeas by Kat Bateman.
I'm so glad I shared that with
you. That is a lovely story. That's a lovely, thank
you. It's a safe space, isn't it? Yeah. So no one's going to hear this, are they?
No, yeah. No one will listen. No,
can I ask you, while we're talking about confessing, is there a nursery rhyme that you confess you secretly really hate and you sing it? And you
no.
Just, really?
No. No, I don't hate any nurseries.
All right, fine. At all. Are there any children where you're like, get that fucking baby out of my class?
Oh, no, the one baby. Thing I will admit to, because obviously I totally love singing and I'm not going to do down what I do, but the one thing that is quite funny sometimes is when beautiful mums come in and they say that their little one, who might be 3-4 weeks old, is very musical. And that sometimes,
fuck off.
Sometimes that makes me slightly, you know. But at the end of the day, if that's what makes them feel happy, then I'm happy for them.
No,
do you know what I mean?
No, exactly.
You know, I can't be too.
They haven't slept for weeks.
No,
they,
exactly.
They're not in their right mind.
No, they're not in their right mind.
Look at them holding the maraca. Yeah. And often they like yeah.
Putting them on the piano. Bong, bong. Well, look, she's so musical.
She's so musical. She's so I just go with hilarious. That. Because I remember those days of, you know, you're so blinded by love for your little one. You yeah. can't see beyond it. And that's how it should be. That is how it should be.
They look like a flesh potato. And they're so gorgeous.
They're so gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Yes,
now,
you'd like
Helen
that.
Thorne, do you have a confession?
I've got a confession. Now, you talked about having to inject your child 5 times and that you're very au fait with needles. I just wanted to do a big shout out to the Lewisham Grove Pharmacy where we went yesterday to get Matilda's second COVID vaccine. Matilda's quite anxious about needles. And we were the last appointment of the day, and the doctor spent no less than 90 minutes.
Oh.
90 minutes.
90 minutes.
We were there from 5:30 till 7 PM, and he...
No, it is funny. It is funny. It's fast.
Oh, fuck me.
It's a bit soon for
fuck me. Just going, you're very brave, Matilda. She's like, no, no, no. And he's like, no, we'll come back from 10, 9. And we got to 1. Yeah. She's like, no, no, no. And then
it was like this.
And
were you tearing your hair out?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, stab it in her fucking eye. In my head. In my head.
And she'll feel so great when the pain's
in my head. Yeah. In my head, listener. Stick it in her ass. Stick it anywhere. Stop the chat.
Oh, that's
cut
unreal.
Open a fucking vein and pour the medicine in.
Oh my god! But the patience and the dedication and the care was extraordinary.
That's incredible.
Not yours.
No.
I was having dark thoughts. I was literally banging my head against the window, like going, "Oh, make it stop."
Oh mate.
Oh shit, that bit.
I do feel your pain.
I felt like this is a safe space to talk about injections. Yeah. But in the end, it was her brother who was like squeezing my hand, going, "When will we?" Leaving. I was like, never. He went behind the curtain. He had a bag of sweets and he said, Matilda, hold my hand and just close your eyes. It's gonna be okay.
Can you feel my heartbeat? Do you understand?
And 5 minutes later, after they came back from 10 again, she had her thing, and I was
did
an
you
emotional,
lick his face?
Yeah, and I was like, here's some money, can I buy you dinner? He's like, no, and he said no, I just wanted her to have a positive experience. And
oh
I was
my
like,
god, that's
these,
incredible!
These angels don't get paid enough.
No, they don't.
And he said, Matilda, you have a very, very kind family. And some people don't have kind families.
So you better be fucking quiet.
Your mum is really kind.
And I was like, well, I can't yell at her now.
Some of the people in your family are excellent people.
What's your one?
Yeah, so anyway, thank you, Lewisham Grove Pharmacy.
Amazing.
So my one is, it's just me being a dickhead, basically. So my one is, so now I'm doing a bit more mum duties now. So lovely, first of all, I want to say congratulations to lovely Inga.
Hooray,
Inga! So Inga looks after my kids a lot of the time, and she also does a lot of Scummy Mummies work for us, and she's had a baby yesterday! Beautiful, beautiful little baby.
Has she called it Helen? I asked her to call it Helen.
No.
Ellie. She's called it Ellie.
knew it!
So congratulations, lovely Inga, and sending lots of love to you and your lovely family. So well done you. But also, let's just make this about me. It means I'm a bit fucked because I now
have to look after my own children.
Oh my God.
I know, imagine.
How old are they now?
At 7 and 10. So
well,
it's
about time, I suppose.
All the single mothers. I hear you scream.
Yeah. You get a whole weekend, so you're all right. You're fine. So,
but my hands are full. Men.
So yes, so like the other day, so after school, normally lovely Inga would be looking after them, but she's apparently, you know,
she's pissed off at her baby.
Her own children are kind of important too, apparently.
I'm so glad you use that voice. Yeah. I love that. I love it when she does that. It always makes me fall apart.
Good. I should do it more. So I had some errands to run. I had to go and get a computer fixed. Blah blah blah. So I was like, right. So I picked them up and I was like, right, kids, get in the car. We've got to go and do these tasks. And they were like, meh, meh, meh. And I was like, no, we've just got to go and do the tasks. And then they were all right. But, you know, it's a bit windy. They had to sit in the computer shop for ages, blah, blah, blah. So by the time we got back in the car, everyone was a little bit, you know, you're not, you just want to get home.
Yep.
And I put my key in the car and it wouldn't start. The key wouldn't even turn. The steering wheel wouldn't turn. The key wouldn't even turn. It was like, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What am I going to do?
The car's broken. Like, Everything's broken.
And I've
nothing works anymore.
FML. And everyone's hungry and I'm exhausted and I've got to get back for a thing and it's just like, oh, fuck, fuck, fuck. And it just wouldn't start. And I sort of remembered this happening before. Maybe there was a way to fix it. So I rang Pete going, I can't start the car. You've got to. And he'd come out. He saw me ring. And you know, it's like these days, no one rings you unless someone's like dying.
No,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
So he came out of his Zoom meeting to answer the call. And he's like, what is it? And I was like, I can't start the car. I can't. Can you help me? And he's like, try this. And I'm like, no, it's not working. What am I going to do? And then Charlie just went, Mum, Mum, Mum. And I was like, what? And he's like, that's the wrong car key. And I was like, oh. And he's like, that's the key for your other car.
Oh, like, my God.
Thanks.
Fine, I knew that.
Thank you, yes. Son.
Is
thank
she showing son. Off that she's got two cars? Yeah, I think that's what this story's about.
I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I had a midlife crisis and I bought a 20-year-old Porsche. Unbelievable.
Did you?
Yeah.
A drop down.
You are so cool. I would love to do something like that.
It's wicked.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's really, really, like, old and it was
I love that.
It was a lot less money than you think.
I love you with your Porsche and your gaming. You're
but,
so yeah. fucking cool, isn't
but I was
she?
A cool mum. So cool, I was trying to start a Skoda with a Porsche key.
The Skoda that looks like it does now look like some kind of rubbish bin that Oscar the Grouch would come out of. There's so many dints, there's no straight lines on it. It's been banged so hard.
Honestly, that's basically why I had to get a Porsche because I kept driving to the gym in this fucking skip on wheels.
It's embarrassing. It literally looks like a skip, it's extraordinary, but it still goes.
I love it.
Can I just quickly say, before Kat does a song, actually,
I might do a song.
You might do a song,
yeah.
If you don't do a song, we're not putting this out. So
okay, fine. Yeah. Well, I think I might have shed too much, so that might be a good idea.
No, it's a bit like the vaccine. Unless you have the vaccine, you can't go home. The other day I had a colposcopy because I had some precancerous cells, and so I spent half an hour in Lewisham Hospital with my legs open.
Talk about just dropping something really serious like
that.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I was fine. And I thought, no, I'm going to be brave. I take the bus to the thing, I'll take it home, I'll walk home. I can completely do this. So I had four local anaesthetics on my cervix, which was really painful.
Bloody hell.
And it's fine. Anyway, it's half an hour of your life. Buck up. Just fucking buck up. The anaesthetics did work. It was okay. Anyway, so I popped a massive pad in walking home. And then I was like, oh, and I did a story. And I said, oh, I've just had this done. You know, go and get a smear test. Ellie rings me up and said, oh, look, I'm in the area. I've got my Porsche. I'll come pick you up. And I just broke down and cried. I really fucking wept.
Because she was there for you.
Yeah, she was really nice.
Of course she's always there for you.
I was like, oh,
you're the scummy mummy.
I'm such a cunt and she's so nice. Aww. And I was like, I'm a shitty shit friend and then she's nice and then...
It's a true story.
And so I bought her an iced coffee and and she arrived and it was really nice, so thank you, Ellie.
Oh my god, thank you for the friends are just so amazing, aren't they?
Yes, I am.
She's a nice person.
But you know what, it's really like, just hang on to those friends that get you, because now I'm going to go quite teary. I'm going to try not to. One of my friends who really got me died 2 years ago. Oh. And it is a fucking weird hole without that person.
That's what they said to me in the hospital.
Oh, my God. woman. What are you doing? There's a time and a place.
It's all right, so listeners. Sorry. I'm not crying, I'm laughing.
Oh,
but I'm just saying, hold on hard.
She's even snorting.
Oh my God.
She thinks she's quite funny, doesn't she?
Oh,
so basically,
God, it's an awful thing to say. Sorry.
You've just got to hold on to those friendships.
Yes.
Because they are so amazing. And they're the ones that they will come round to your house when it looks like a shit heap and you're so, you don't know which way's up.
Mm.
And you can let them in because you know they're not fucking judging you.
Yeah,
and
well, not
there's
externally.
Nothing.
Yeah. Oh, we're all judging each other.
We all need those friends who, you know, who are just amazing like that because you miss them like fuck when they're gone.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was your friend's name?
She is called Kay and she's just one of those incredible people, just unbelievably amazing, and I miss her every single day.
Oh.
But she makes me do things that are scary because I think if she's not here living her life, I've got to fucking do them. And so yeah, she's really amazing, really amazing. So yeah, friendships are so important.
Oh, well, that is lovely, Kat. And I'm not going to do a joke now because that's a very serious, poignant moment.
It was. I did.
And I'm very empathetic.
Yes.
So just so
out of this show.
Anyway, let's have a song.
Out of this show, I've realised that. I love you two even more than I did before. Because you are so... Like, honestly, can I just say about the Scummy Mummies? Now, you don't know this, but basically, when I was... God, I think maybe a couple of years into my business and I was schlepping around Beckenham High Street, going into cafes and doing songs, hardly anyone there. And then I saw a poster and it was a really shit paper poster printed obviously on a computer. And it just had two ladies on it and it said, come and see the Scummy Mummies. And I saw your two faces on this poster. Now, we're going back a long time.
Mm.
And I thought, they look like my cup of tea.
Oh.
And you are my cup of tea.
Oh, that is so lovely. Now, before we have a song, do you mind if we have a song at the end? I'd like it to be like the end credits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like.
Do you mean after the end?
No, not the outtake.
No. Just turn the microphone off.
To finish. But before you do that, Kat, where can people follow you and where can they come and listen to your music?
Okay, so I would love to have any of you mummies out there that have got little ones and you're looking for some fun, sing songs. And I am online, so wherever you live, anywhere in the world, you can come to my online sessions. You book at an amazing company called happity.co.uk. That's how you find my online sessions. I would really love, because business has been a bloody nightmare, if all of you could go to my YouTube channel. I've got 10 videos on there that are free and they're really fun and they've got little animations on and everything. Your kids will love them. And they are YouTube channel Little Folk Nursery Rhymes.
Little Folk Nursery Rhymes.
Exactly, okay. That.
We'll put links in the show notes.
Thank you. Yeah. And then also, if you are bobbing about in cars and you want some music, I got it on iTunes and Spotify.
Hey, hey.
Oh, and your park sessions are at Mayo and Crystal Palace Park.
I have got, so at the moment I've got the Lakes Cafe on Mondays, which is in South Norwood. I have got the amazing Grow Mayo sessions on Tuesdays and the amazing Brown and Green sessions on Wednesdays.
All right.
And that's all South East London.
Yes, so if you're down South East London, get down there. And if you're not, get online.
Get online, get online.
Honestly, she is brilliant and she doesn't make you want to stab her in the face.
Which, not on the first five sessions anyway.
Not always the case with nursery rhyme singers.
No,
so
not very good.
Thank you very much, Kat. We're going to Edinburgh, either way, if you want to come and see us.
That's right. We're on in Edinburgh from the 18th to the 27th of August at 7:40 at the Underbelly. You can get tickets from scummymummies.com. But we're going up and down and we've booked gigs until October 2023 and we're updating those dates now. But do tell everyone about the podcast and what else are we doing? Just general. We're just, you know, listen
just
to the
podcast. Just being fabulous.
Yeah. Follow, tell your friends about us. And let's end with a wonderful song.
I'm very excited. No, I don't think anyone's written a song for us before.
Man. I don't think anyone's ever written a song for me.
When you get the Scummy Mummies asking you to go on their podcast and then one of them sends you a little note going, bring a guitar. My mind went off on like, oh my God, what are they going to get me to do? So I thought, I need to own this and I'm going to write them something.
Oh man.
So
well, that's very kind. Just to be clear, we're not paying you.
You know the song I Hear Thunder?
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Right.
I Hear Thunder.
So I've changed it to Scummy Mummies Rock the World, Fuck Yeah.
Amazing. Yes.
No more dishes, cooking sucks,
Oh, look, here's more washing. Oh, look, here's more washing. FML. FML.
Love it.
Mind the stair pile, mind the stair pile. Just walk by, just walk by. Mum, where's my PE kit? Mum, where's my PE kit? FML, FML. Need some me time, need some me time. Hang on tight, hang on tight. Remember who you are, remember who you are. Empty cups ain't right, empty cups ain't right. Years are short, years are short. Days are long, days are long. Grab the lovely moments, grab the lovely moments. Go so fast, go so fast. Scar me, mommy, scar me, mommy. Rock the world, rock the world. We all stand together, we all stand together. Love will make us bold, mamas till we're old.
From Abbey Road Studios. It is Kat Bateman.
That is truly one of the nicest, most wonderful, yes, most creative and funny and brilliant things anyone's ever done for us, Kat.
I've got chills. There's so much love in there and thought and care.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. And also, thank you for coming. Thank you for being there from the beginning from us, because we've looked out into the audience many times and seen your beautiful, smiling face. And, and that kind of
thought, what the fuck's she doing here?
It's another free ticket. It's the same jokes, Kat.
No, but thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to write that song. And that's a beautiful tune as well. You've made the music up as well from scratch. It must have taken hours. Yeah. It's really beautiful. Really lovely.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know who wrote I Hear Thunder, but thanks for letting me borrow it.
Well, I love it. I think Christmas number one, lads.
Yeah, bring it home. Bring it home.
Oh, it's been a real joy. Thank you so much.
A massive joy for me. I can't tell you. That's like a real it just made my day. Thank you very much.
There's never been a time I've seen you either at one of your events or here or at one of our shows where I've not felt better afterwards. I feel uplifted.
My god, you made me feel the reverse.
Yes, she is. she's coming in. We will convert her.
Oh, there we go. Well, thank you very much for listening. Until next time,
bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.